And welcome back to your Arizona Saturday morning tradition. It is Rosie on the House. We're a three-hour broadcast. Today's lineup in our third hour, our home improvement topic, it's air conditioning. Front of just about everyone's mind, unless you're, from what I hear, around the Lake Mary area, you're probably thinking about air conditioning. 9 o'clock hour, it's open lines, and the 8 o'clock hour, we're in the landscape and garden with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery and special guest Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau, talking about the harvest that's coming right out of Arizona to the grocery store or to the farmer's market near you. Mr. Harper, where are we starting in the garden this morning?
Well, there's lots to do in the garden. It's 70 degrees this morning at my house.
Nice.
If you get up early, you got to, get going, and, it's not bad. But there's lots of things that we can be planting now. Father's Day is a week from tomorrow, so we need to be thinking about maybe planting something for Dad so he doesn't have to do it, maybe something in memory of Dad or in honor of Dad, like a nice shade tree or, maybe a special vine. Something that I call it legacy planting. You ought to like that name, legacy.
Hello.
And so planting something in honor or something, that you can look back and go, we planted that tree, when Grandpa was, and look at it now, or when Junior was born, or that sort of thing. Great, great thing to do. But planting warm weather loving trees and shrubs, dethatching lawns, fertilizing citrus, speaking of harvest, we're harvesting tomatoes and zucchinis. I see you planted some squash over there, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and so we're harvesting all that stuff, which means those plants are really expending a lot of energy, so they need to be kept fed. We're going into that warm time of the season. We want to add mulches around our fruit trees and rose bushes and vegetables and flower gardens to keep the soil from drying out, keep the roots cool. So there's just tons of things. And, of course, checking sprinkler systems, irrigation systems, make sure they're functioning properly. And as I mentioned, dethatching and fertilizing lawns, getting that winter grass to die. We got it, believe it or not, if you've got a little bit of shade or you haven't mowed your lawn short, you probably still have some ryegrass that's hanging around. Need to get that stuff out of there, because come about the first or second week of the monsoon, when the nights don't cool off, all of a sudden we get calls, people coming in, my lawn died. What's wrong with my lawn? Well, no, your ryegrass finally died. And you're right. The Bermuda grass couldn't hang on that long, so it's gone. So we need to get rid of that stuff. So all kinds of things to be doing out in the garden right now.
Now, I know you don't recommend dethatching every year. But if it was a year someone was dethatching, would that rip out all the rye?
That's why this is a good time of year to do it. And you can do it every year, but you need to do it now. A lot of people dethatch in the fall when they're planting their winter lawns. And that's really the wrong time of year to do that. You need to dethatch that Bermuda grass when it's able to recover quickly. So mid to late May, early June, good time to do it. And it's a really good time to help that transition, because it'll pretty much disrupt most of the ryegrass if you get in there and mow your lawn short and then go in there and dethatch it. Dethatching also helps water get through the thatch, get down into the soil. It can help you save on some water. It opens the thatch up. Thatch is not all bad. We don't want to completely eliminate thatch. Thatch is like mulching. We mulch rose bushes. We mulch vegetable gardens. Thatch helps shade the ground, it helps cool the roots, it helps conserve water. So we need some thatch, but if it gets so thick that water and sunlight can't get down to the roots, then it can cause disease problems. It can make it hard to water the grass efficiently. And of course, it can help keep the ryegrass alive longer. So
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. Before we get to a $20 million produce that Arizona brings in, RJ, I think he gets our newsletter, because he called in before the show started with a mowing question. So he was ready for
you. He read
the
newsletter.
RJ, how can we help?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I had a question. I've got Santa Ana tiff, and it's like an oval-shaped area, and it's only like 200 square foot. It's not that much area. I've got a tiff mower, and I inherited a electric mower, which cuts real easy. I mean, it's real easy to cut it real quick and everything. And the only problem is the mowing height, all dropping it all the way down, is fairly high, which looks okay. But when I do the winter grass, I scalp it down with the TIF mower.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get rid of the TIF mower, but I can't get that. The lowest adjustment on the electric mower is, you know, fairly high. I can't get it.
Right.
I guess I could use the weed eater for the whole area that's scalp it down.
Yes, as small as your lawn is, you could. People do. I have seen people do that for small lawns, sure.
Okay, and
Or you can rent a lawnmower for a couple hours, you know, somewhere once a year. You know, if you're trying to make that shift and get rid of that TIF mower, and the only reason you're keeping the TIF mower is to scalp the lawn 1 hour's worth of work 1 day a year, you know,
renting's a good option.
Renting's not a bad option. The weed eater's not the weed eater will work. Certainly, yes.
Now the rotary mower, it seems to do an okay job. I was thinking of eventually going to the Grand, the hybrid Grand.
TIF Grand, okay.
Yeah, because I've got some trees that kind of overhang a little
bit. Okay, sure.
And I heard some good things about that grass as far as shade tolerant. Will I still be able to use a regular rotary?
Yes, it's actually even a little more coarse probably than Santa Ana. If you can mow Santa Ana and make it look good, you're doing the right thing, because it's nobody even, I don't even know that they grow Santa Ana anymore. It was in the 80s, maybe late 70s, early 80s, it was kind of the new hot hybrid Bermuda, and it turned out to be, it grows so fast and so uneven, and you know, it scalps, you know, it burns really bad, it scalps really bad when you mow it. So you'll find TIF Grand a lot easier to maintain than Santa Ana, and it is quite a bit more shade tolerant. Not completely, but quite a bit more.
I was going to save this question till later, but while we're on the grass breed topic, Jeff wrote in, he's a transplant from Las Vegas to Phoenix, and he can't find fescue grass. He said that's about all you can get in Las Vegas. Why can't I find it in Arizona? Do I have to drive back up there to get it? Well,
you can buy fescue seed, and we have it.
Fescue, but it's not going to come in the roll-up.
If he wants to buy fescue sod, he'll have to go to Flagstaff or Prescott or a high season. Las Vegas, I asked one of our sod guys, Joe Traficano from West Coast Turf, just a day or two ago. We were at a meeting together. I said, you know, tell me why Vegas can get away with planting fescue. And he says, just cool enough at night that the fescue will live there. As opposed to here. So that's just simply, we're not cool enough at night to use fescue as a year-round grass alternative here. We use it in shady areas in the summertime. It will tolerate a lot of shade. So they do use it there. Vegas uses a lot of fescue. And if you want fescue sod, you're going to have to go to someplace, a high elevation place in Arizona. They sell lots of fescue sod in Prescott and Flagstaff.
You have it as a seed.
Right.
When would I plant that? Obviously, would you use it as a replacement for winter rye, or would you use it in the
summer? That's the thing. Here, if he's talking about a permanent lawn out in full sun, it's probably not going to go through the summer. You would plant it in the fall as a winter lawn. Quite frankly, it's not as pretty a grass as rye grasses. It's coarser bladed. I don't think it's a great substitute for that. All the fescue that's sold in Phoenix is sold for people that have troubled areas, shady areas, that they can't get anything to grow through the spring and summer and fall.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation or have a question about your landscape or garden, in Arizona, agriculture is a $12.4 billion industry. 20 million of that accounts for
all sorts of good crops. And we have some sweet corn, because since we're in the summer, we're talking about that. And it also is represented in all of our melons that we grow and all of our summer squash.
Watermelons. That was the they separated that from cantaloupe, because cantaloupe is a $75 million industry in Arizona. I never would have guessed $75 million.
Yes, and in fact, two of our big family farms, the Martoris and the Rousseaus, are two of the families, and there's actually about 14 major melon growers in the state, but those two families are very significant contributors for the watermelon, for any of your melons in general, your honeydew. I love honeydew in the summer, sweet, juicy. And so these families, Martoris are like third generation. The Rousseau are also a third generation farming family. They're the ones that serve up a lot of our melons. You'll see them in the grocery stores or farmers markets. The Rousseau farm family markets their melons under the Melon Up and the Dynasty labels. So if you see those in the grocery store, you know you're getting them from the Rousseau family. And then the Martoris, they usually market their melons under the Candy label, Candy with a K. And I was just in Bash's the other day, and I saw the produce guys pulling out some of the melons, and I believe they were some of the Martoris because I saw the Candy label. So you can, even if you don't go to a farmer's market, you can get local melons in the grocery store right now.
And FillYourPlate.org has a great online tool for recipes for all these different types of produce that we make here in the state.
Yes, it's a searchable database. And right now, if you plug in melons in the recipe searchable database or watermelon, we separate watermelon out. We've got some recipes for that. We even, by the way, back to the sweet corn, posted a video, just recent video in the video cache on sweet corn.
That's Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau. We'll be talking a little bit more about how many acres in Arizona are dedicated to watermelons, the number of farms that accounts for, and more right here at Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348. The phone lines are lining up, and there's still one open line for you. With the warm winter we've had, it is bug season, and anywhere you water, it's going to attract those insects. And that's why Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is what I keep on site next to my container garden. Mr. J was talking about squash. We have beautiful harvest crop, and we haven't lost a single thing to insects yet. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew kills on contact, and it'll stick around and kill when they come and feed back on it. So if you don't get them all in the spray, you'll get them all when they come back to feed on your hard-working produce. You can use it on vegetable gardens, flowers, berries, trees, shrubs, and fruit. Captain Jack's is all organic insect control. It's available in dust, a liquid concentrate, ready to use, and what I like is the built-in spray applicator where you just screw it onto your hose and spray it. It's got a mist, and then it's got a stream, so if you've got high trees that you can't reach, you can just shoot the stream. It's available all over the state, including Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson, Christopher's in Lakeside, and Waters on Iron Spring Road in Prescott.